Welcome to Bible Study for Progressives, a show where moderates, liberals, and leftists of all faiths and ideologies come together to discuss scripture, spirituality, and politics. We engage scripture in its historical context, plumb its depths for wisdom and guidance, and apply its lessons to current events and social issues. Whether you're a liberal evangelical, a New Age spiritualist, a social justice activist, or a postmodern theologian, there's something in this show for you. Come, be energized in spirit and mind to understand the word and what it means to be a spiritual person in today's world.
Right on. So that's Andy. I'll get to promo him first. Andy has been on many of my talk shows before, and he's a philosophical stoic, so to speak. Welcome, Andy. And then we've also got today Rich Procida, and a very scholarly constitutional lawyer. People, please get with him, too. Constitutional lawyer. He's been given webinars on propaganda. And also, too, he does Bible studies for progressives. Thank you, Andy, for helping with this. And welcome, Rich. Thank you. Thank you both so much for being on the show today.
Thank you, Lynn. So what I've been thinking, Lynn, is that this propaganda issue is not just, I mean, it relates to this race issue that we have going on right now, because while, yes, there are people who have sort of racist tendencies or racist beliefs, but those beliefs and behaviors are stoked or encouraged by racist propaganda and the rhetoric that's coming from racist or from politicians who are using racist propaganda to divide the nation in order to get themselves elected or whatever their agenda happens to be, which is usually to get more money in their pockets and to get more power and influence and fame. But in any case, what's going on in the country with all this division around race and the police brutality is directly connected to a leader who promotes brutality and spreads racist propaganda and acts brutality. Like you said, when the looting starts, the shooting starts. I mean, not only is that racist, it's brutal. I like to remind people who are all upset that Bernie lost the election that they don't really know what the country is, what's going on. We still have children imprisoned on the border. You know, it's not politics as usual. This president and this party has acted with impunity to violate the laws. And when there's lawlessness in the executive branch, there's lawlessness in the police authorities, that breaks out into lawlessness all over the place. So he's acting with impunity. He's violated the law, and we can't hold him accountable. And now we shouldn't be surprised now that the police act with impunity over and over and over again. And then he wants to use break up a protest out in front using force and violence. The violence from the protest actually is the violence instigated by the police themselves. Now, there are violent groups, there are cultish political groups that get involved, and then there are criminals who take advantage of the situation. You know, they've got these political cults. There are groups that will promote violence. There are people who are being told through third-party and foreign propaganda that nonviolence doesn't work, and that's why they resort to violence. And we get a lot of these articles talking about, oh, the anger, the violence. They really don't know what's going on down in the streets. In the streets, you've got the nonviolent protesters. You've got the propaganda-infested groups that think only violence works, and they come in and try and hijack the larger and nonviolent protests. And then you have criminals that come in behind them to take advantage of the situation to rob and steal. So I'm glad we've got that under control, because this president is not only a threat to people of color in this nation, he's a threat to our very democracy. He's a threat to all of us, because it's unclear to me if violence breaks out again or if there's problems, he will use that to declare martial law. He could use it and then cancel the election. I think when he came out to the Rose Garden to speak, I think he was taking directions directly from Putin, that Putin is calling the shots, because he's obviously not informing any of his staff. They didn't know he was going out to do that. And then they got this idea, supposedly it was Ivanka's idea, to clear the protesters out in front. And then he starts making threats. And so this person is a threat to our very lives. He's a threat to the colored people's lives. He's a threat to our freedoms and our democracy. And his intention is to destroy the American way of life following an autocratic and rule as an autocrat. So no more looking away. No more looking away from the racist rhetoric. No more looking away from the police brutality. We're not going to turn our eyes from those at the top who are instigating and fomenting this racist rhetoric and racist reactions and extremism and division in our country. So I think when we look at the whole picture, propaganda is not only affect the Bernie Sanders versus Biden and debate, it's affecting the entire country. So that's why I have a short presentation that I'm doing now, 10 to 15 minutes. And if anybody wants me to do a webinar or present at their, just present that propaganda training to their club or their group, I'm available. My email address is rich_proceda. That's P as in Paul, R-O, C as in car, I, D as in David, A, at justice.com. And I'll be happy to do a presentation for you on propaganda, because it's very relevant to this race issue. And I realize that on Thursday night when I did a presentation before the Tri-County Democratic Club, and I had written it all before all of this happened, and then when I got to the point where I started talking about race, it really hit me, and I realized this propaganda is what's dividing us around race. It's what's encouraging the brutality and the bigotry and the anger and the hatred, and it needs to stop. And we have to stop this man in November. And if we don't, the future of the country and the future of all our lives and our freedoms are at risk. And that's why I think this election is important and this movement is important. And hopefully we can keep united and solidarity with one another, and without picking on one another around issues of ideology or religion, or even picking on one another about race. We can just stay unified in solidarity with one another and to take this country back from the authoritarian forces, then we can restart our efforts. I can really see now how propaganda plays into the issue of race and how it inflames that issue and how it's part and parcel of what is creating this brutal regime that is and causing more brutality by police, such that we get a terrible murder and more that's going on that probably isn't filmed.
Okay, what do you think, Andy? What's your take on all of this?
Let's assume that everything Rich says is true. But let's take it up another level. Let's assume it's not just about race, that race, although there are racists, that racism and misogyny and mocking the disabled and belittling the poor and all of those factors are being used by knowing people to maintain their power. It just so happens that racism has a history in our country, and it's easy to fuse and flare up. One of the encouraging things I've seen in the last week in particular, a number of encouraging signs. Our president tried to use the American military for illicit purposes. The American military backed down in a way that was historic. Yeah, active military leaders who are usually silent actually spoke out. Our own Secretary of Defense, a Trump pick, spoke out. So our military said, no, we're not going to do that. That's one of the critical ways to keep our country from becoming tyrannical, because if the leader cannot use that military, in fact, they've had to back off and withdraw. A second good sign is I've seen a lot of protesters, not all, but a lot of protesters come to realize where it's multiracial, multigenerational, that all of our issues are based on power disparity, and that maintaining of money and power by the select few is really what we're up against. I've seen a lot of good signs.
Again, please reiterate
the maintenance of power and wealth.
Yep.
Is what we're up against. People who value power and wealth over the lives and freedoms of Americans. They
or health of the planet, you know, Mother Earth.
They speak
Earth.
To freedom, oh. And they speak to climate change, and meanwhile they do what they do behind the scenes, creating hate and division so you won't watch who they're robbing and what kind of illicit business. There was another one today, another guy, I forget what it was, yet another person's being investigated, some big wig. So I've seen systemic opportunity here. I've seen not all police being bad. I've seen a number of police chiefs having to face the reality of their own ranks. A lot of them are forced, have their hand forced by police unions. There's a lot of potential for change. There's a lot of talk now of what is the nature of public safety. I know in Minneapolis they want to disband the police department and work on having most of the police calls answered by medics and counselors, which is probably a good idea. And
yeah.
I think the protests, the main protests, the daytime main protests, have far outweighed the hooligans and looters in the evening. And the throngs of peaceful protests. You haven't seen the headlines. There have been some fantastic peaceful protests. And many people out there masked because in the middle of a life-threatening pandemic, they think this is more important. It really speaks to the will of the people. Now, propaganda is a kind of interesting thing. Our leader, dear leader, the tyrant, some people call him the tyrant-in-chief, whatever you think, he's not doing this alone. He's doing this with the support of other power-hungry politicians. The so-called checks and balances, if they were checking and balancing, this thing would have been over a long time ago. So we have a deeper problem than one guy. So what we have to do is, I believe, we have to focus, we have to think more carefully. We need to help all of our brothers and sisters, whatever their political leaning, to recognize it's important that we vote for people of character and ethics and worry less about their policy right now. It's important that we help our friends understand what propaganda is and question what they're hearing. The propagandists are succeeding because for the moment they've got a block of people who, whether out of fear or denial or just being overwhelmed or whatever, don't realize or want to realize they're being played. And fortunately, some of their icons, military icons in particular, have been speaking out. And so I think over the last week there has been a change, cracks in the great propaganda machine. But it makes me think about not just what is propaganda, but how do we help everybody recognize it when they see it? That's what I've been thinking about. Rich, I don't know if you know this, but I read an article that said the word propaganda was developed by a pope in the church in the 1600s. Yeah, I read about it.
In reference to what? In reference to what?
He developed a propaganda committee. Too many Catholics were wanting to leave the church for to become Protestants, and he was upset. So he
he promoted the for the propagation of the faith, and that's the first time the actual word propaganda was used. But propaganda actually goes all the way back to ancient times.
I'm sure it does, but being that you do Bible teachings for progressive, I thought it was particularly poignant as I saw it.
Yeah. Yeah, and they're the first ones who did it. And then Edward Bernays or somebody developed a different word for propaganda. So they call it
propaganda about propaganda, huh?
Yeah, more about no propaganda about propaganda. In fact, I think there's actually propaganda out there right now that's telling people not to listen to people who are concerned about propaganda. And then it's amazing after we've came out of the war through the impeachment, all of a sudden you hear these leftists, propaganda, there is no propaganda. That was all a lie. And
it's a hoax,
it's not really an issue, you know, coming from the leftists. And so people who were against impeachment to begin with and thought impeachment was a waste of time. And so I hear it, oh, you're propaganda, what propaganda? And this is from leftists. I mean, I can imagine it from right-wing people, but from leftists. So there's
well, you know, what's funny is that we have to be careful, those of us who are acting for change, we have to be careful how we choose our words so we don't easily allow those power people to make us out to be hoaxers. And one of my concerns, is I watch the so-called progressive media. At times, they do things which I think are unwise. I understand why. It's about rage and upset and wanting to be a supportive to others of like mind, but it can provide fuel for the power hungry. We who concern ourselves with languaging have to be very careful to help our progressive friends adjust their languaging so they don't inadvertently throw fuel on the fire.
I just got done reading an article on LA Progressive, I didn't read the article, I just read the title, by Sonali Gohadkar, who is has a show on there on KPFK, and it was the liberal politicians have caused police brutality. And so this it's kind of like, do we really need to start picking on liberals now? I mean, this sort of neoliberal socialist obsession that we need to have, that the conflict is between socialism and capitalism is just completely off base and out of touch in many ways when it comes to race.
One of the issues with propaganda is information silos.
Right.
We all tend to seek out the information that we agree with, and that's not good. That fosters propaganda. If I make it a point to listen to many sides. And the thing that I've found is there are some media outlets that normally tack toward the, let's call it, conservative. And when they make an argument, there is some nut of truth to their perspective. We can't, as progressives, totally assume everything they say. I'm not talking about the wing nut radio hate mongers. I'm talking about more modest conservative views. There is a point and a reason why they feel the way they feel. And I believe that we can craft a solution that helps not only our concerns, but their concerns are also our concerns.
I know, Rich, but Rich, with Bible studies for progressives, right, they're starting to realize we have to go beyond race, religion, gender, and these political divides. And I've never heard a president say, oh, by the way, if you're, you know, there's no good Democrats unless they're dead ones. I mean, like,
oh,
what?
Sure, I've heard that crap before.
Oh, my. I mean, how?
Listen to Rush Limbaugh.
That's treasonous. And I've listened to all this information being spewed to get right versus left. And that's what I'm saying. You know, you've got race.
Why are they marching in the black communities? It's not just race. It's because they don't have health care. They don't have education. They don't have economic development. It's as much socioeconomic as anything. But what I'm saying is we can sit here and postulate all our intellectual theories all day. But until we have people in power, nothing's going to happen. I mean, the groups fighting for A and B and C and D are going to keep fighting and yelling and screaming, and we won't get anywhere unless we all get together. One of the good things about seeing people in the streets is it tells politicians, even if they use chicanery to try and get elected, they're not popular. And in order to maintain their power, they're going to have to consider millions of people in the streets. And now they're turning into, some of the marches are turning into voter registration drives, for instance, and that's a good thing.
Rich, go ahead.
Well, I wanted to just clarify that I'm not really against socialist policies or Richard Wolff in particular. I do have a problem with the pushing of ideology. I see it as a kind of proselytization. And I have a problem with the politics and the third-party politics and propaganda that gets spread on their behalf, and the divisiveness that they're trying to divide us against. You know? So I think the main, and when I say it's not capitalism versus socialism, it's authoritarianism versus democracy. That's the central struggle, and that's what we're in a struggle about now. So, yeah, they may not have everything they need, and socialists might provide them with medical care, and all these other things. But that's not why they're out in the street.
For the purpose of our discussion, from now on, I'm never going to use the word socialist. I'm always going to use the word compassionate capitalism.
Okay,
how about democratic compassionist? I mean,
democracy does not mean personal freedom at the expense of other people's freedom.
Right on.
right. And I wanted to add that there's, you know, some of the propaganda that's coming out, like this idea I talked about how that nonviolence doesn't work anymore. Well, there's nothing new about violence. I mean, Hong Kong, they used violence, and that movement failed. People going out and saying nonviolence doesn't work anymore, we're trying a new thing. There's nothing new about violence. Like Walter Wink said, that the most dangerous thing about the use of violence is when it actually works, because it convinces people that violence works. But violence is no more successful than nonviolence. Now, there's a difficulty with nonviolence that it's not that I have a difficulty with it, but I think that all human beings have a difficulty with this, is that nonviolence asks us to put our lives on the line, to risk death, and to not fight back. And that's sort of what Jesus exemplified, facing death. But when he was beaten, he did not respond.
Or Gandhi.
He did not fight back. And that's maybe asking a little too much of people. And I think that's probably the biggest difficulty with nonviolence, is that we ask a lot of people to not fight back and to be nonviolent. But
the problem is that it's not actually about violence versus nonviolence. They're misinterpreting the words. There is a wrong assumption that being nonviolent means you're passive, and that's wrong. They're not talking about passivity, and a lot of people, when they hear the word nonviolence, they think passive. When they hear the word violence, they think active. In fact, it's important to be active and not passive. It's important to be nonviolent because the people that are maintaining their power and wealth are doing it through domination, dominating others. Got to elect the right people. Rich, I thought of it the other day when the Episcopal Archbishop and the Catholic Archbishop and then the High Episcopal Reverend all spoke out about that stunt. To me, that was important.
When was that? Because I didn't hear about that.
Oh, yeah, when Trump did his Bible thing in front of St. John's, the Episcopal Archbishop of D.C. expressed her, let's just say she was not subtle about her disapproval. Then he did another thing in front of a Catholic church, and the Catholic Archbishop from the Diocese of D.C. also spoke out. And then the High Reverend, I forget his name, Curry, the head of the American Episcopal Church, spoke out. And it was delightful to see religious leaders saying, you know, these are houses of God and houses of peace. How dare you use it for political gain, blah, blah, blah. And so it struck me that it was important for religious voices to be in the mix.
One of the things that Jesus did, according to Scripture, is he went into the temple and he overturned the tables, and he wouldn't let anybody carry anything through the temple. And so,
was that the passage about the money changers?
Yep.
Yeah, the money changers. And some people say, well, that was violent. And no, it's not violent, not in the sense of military fatigues, guns, Molotov cocktails, bombs, bully clubs, you know, where you're actually beating people up and using actual physical force and violence.
I would say that four men kneeling on a man until he's dead is pretty violent.
Yeah. That is pretty violent.
Wow.
But the point I'm trying to make is that nonviolence is not necessarily not disruptive or not active or not physical.
I have two sentences. The first sentence is, many years ago, someone asked my wife if she was a peace or war, and she said, I'm a pacifist. And they asked me, and I said, I'm not a pacifist, I'm an activist. The second sentence is peace activist of a weird kind, because I recognize in order to reduce war, in order to reduce unnecessary drugging, etc., we have to not only have solutions to those problems which are as effective as the ones currently being used, but they have to be demonstrated on a broad enough scale to usurp, to disrupt the propaganda from people in power currently hold. It's not enough to have an answer. If you want to get rid of war, you better demonstrate an alternative conflict resolution that works. You better demonstrate it strong enough so that you can get enough support to get rid of well-entrenched processes. It's not enough to have a solution.
Well, I think we definitely need to vote. And I think we need to look at our vote as a tool, like a crowbar. We're just trying to wedge autocrats and abusive and corrupt people out of power and trying to replace them with democratic and people who are concerned about justice and have a motive and are motivated to make our country and the world a better place. And that's really all that voting is. I mean, we have votes on propositions and ballot measures and other things like that. But when we're voting for politicians, we're just yanking out the bad ones and trying to replace them with somebody else, and then we find out whether they're good or bad as time goes on.
Pardon? Right now, people are willing to do what they previously would be afraid to do, and I can assure you, if someone got out there right now and said, I want to be president, among the crowds of throngs that are ducking the pandemic to protest, I don't care what the political rules say, we the people can rewrite the political rules that's in the Declaration. We empower ourselves to reform our government. The problem is we're all playing too much by the rules. We need to learn to not play by the rules, because people who are maintaining their power are playing through threat and through domination. They're not playing by the rules, and we got to learn to use that same mindset for good.
Well, I think that it's important, very important for us to vote strategically, because really, there's really only two choices out there. One of the difficulties I have with all these third parties is their propaganda goes against the Democratic Party. I mean, I saw Jill Stein. She was sitting there with Putin. And I don't have any doubt that some groups are being funded by foreign governments.
And yeah, because their group psychology and their need to express rage against the machine outweighs any practical, real assessment of the politics. And that's the same thing that's causing right-wing stuff, too. It's the personal need to rage against the machine and to get identity in their life and to make a difference. And that's the only way they know how.
Yeah,
we only have about 4 minutes left. You guys want to start giving your contact and how to stay in touch with anyone that's listening to this program or might start listening to it? Because there's a lot of people looking for both of your expertise in different realms. So who wants to go first? Andy, do you want to go first? Okay, let Rich go. Go ahead, Rich.
Oh, well, my name is Rich Procida, and it's P as in Paul, R-O-C as in car, I, D as in David, A, at justice.com is my email. So rich_Procida@justice.com. I have a podcast called Bible Study for Progressives, and you can find that on your podcast site. And I also write for laprogressive.com, and you can go to my author page and see all my authors. And I have a blog at modernlectionaries.blogspot.com. And lectionaries is spelled just like it sounds, lectionaries. And also, if you want me to do a presentation on propaganda, and that's what I'm doing right now, or anything that has to do with progressive Christianity and politics, or just politics and race, I can do that. But right now I'm doing a presentation on propaganda. I can make it any length. Give me a call or send me an email. My number, 562-665-3317. Thank you, Rich.
Say that one more time. One more time, Rich. Go in your number if it's okay.
562-665-3317.
Okay, Andy, what about you?
Andy.special@comcast.net. interested in systemic awareness, human emotional psychology, and using technology in the information age to who controls information, how it gets distributed, and how we can use information systems to create and support democracy.
There you go. All right, everyone, we got to sign out. Time's up for today. Thank you so much, Rich Proceda, and thank you so much, Andrew Miller. Thank you so much for being on. This is Lynn Mystic Keeler, Spiritual Emergency Training, signing off today.
This has been Bible Study for Progressives. If you enjoyed the program, please subscribe to our podcast or put us in your favorites and write a 5-star review. Tell your friends about us and share us on social media. Follow us on Facebook and click the donate button at modernlectionaries.blogspot.com. Your support will help us reach more people, produce more and better shows, and cover the cost of production. Feel free to send me a note or comment on the show. I would love to hear from you. Until next time, this is Rich Proceda. Thank you for listening.